swell of 4 to 6 feet at 13 seconds. Tonight out there, south winds 5 to 10 knots, wind waves less than 2 feet. A west swell of 5 to 7 feet at 14 seconds. And on Sunday, the southeast winds 5 to 10 knots, wind waves less than 2 feet. A west swell of 4 to 6 feet at 13 seconds. For your KSEO King of the Hill traffic update, I have a couple things to report here. Actually, just one now, but there's a traffic collision that happened at 827, and this is on Smith Grade Road at Empire Grade Road. And it looks like it was a vehicle versus a tree there, so roadway is closed right now until they can get that taken care of. And if you see something out there, give me a call, 475-1080, and I'll report it. Current temperatures, we've got Watsonville at 52, it's 53 in Monterey, 50 degrees in Salinas, and we are at 56 here in Santa Cruz, right outside KSEO Studios. Official time is 10:07 exactly on this Saturday, March 12th. Up next, we've got the Saturday special. Stay tuned, KSEO Santa Cruz, I'm Nikki James.
What have you been doing lately?
What have I been doing?
Is that too personal a question?
It depends on what I've been doing, I guess.
Well, what have you been doing?
Yesterday I watched the news for a while. Pretty much all day.
That's not too personal a question.
No.
Yeah. I think a lot of people did that.
Yeah.
Very sad. Very sad. Across the world. And very interesting about how it affected us.
Yep.
You know, Mother Nature, just amazing. And I'm astounded at how there was nothing unusual in north of us in San Francisco Bay.
I know, isn't that weird? That's kind of what I was trying to figure out. It's like the Monterey Bay feels more protected than San Francisco, right?
Well, I don't know about that. I would think that San Francisco Bay is more protected because there's just a little tiny inlet, the Golden Gate Bridge. I have a place in the Bay Area that I spend some time at, and I called my next door neighbor and said, "Hey, what happened?" He says, "We were looking for any kind of a difference, even a little blip, and didn't see anything." And then down here, 80 miles south, you know, boats were capsized and docks were broken and everything in our harbor. And they say there was like $15 million worth of damage.
Yeah, it's up to 17, actually.
Oh, boy. Yeah. Yep. So, I was working all morning. I knew from 3 a.m. I happened to be up and I turned on the TV and I saw what had happened and watched it for 2 or 3 hours. But I discounted any possibility, even though they were talking about tsunami warnings on the coast, you know, on the west coast of California, Oregon, and Washington, and Alaska, obviously. I just didn't pay much attention to it because better be safe than sorry. And every other time there's been any kind of a thing like that, nothing happened. But something did happen yesterday, and it made me think of 1964 April when they had that big earthquake in Anchorage. When our small craft harbor at Santa Cruz was only about a year old at the time. And I remember then boats capsizing in the harbor just from they called it, they didn't say tsunami then, they called them tidal waves, you know. But isn't that something? And so I didn't even realize what was going on. And I've got to really put out kudos to our staff. I mean, I just can't be more proud of the you guys and the way you guys spring into action here whenever there's anything that's of the slightest bit concern to the public. And I'm proud that we can do that, and we do it, and you guys just do a wonderful job. Rosie and the gang in the morning show. I was so involved in what I was doing yesterday that I didn't even get a chance to listen to KSCO, but I tuned in at Corey Gold's program, and we were getting nothing but accolades from people. It's like we had been through like the earthquake of 89 or something. Anyhow, makes you feel good. It's your favorite radio station and mine too. So why don't we start our open mic program here on KSCO, and we'll do that right now.
Good morning. A brighter day is here. Good morning. May we bring you cheer.
We've got time. We've got tunes. temperature.
Get up and go, it's today you know on KSCO Radio.
Well, it's not as if there's not a whole lot to talk about today. No particular guest. Actually, there is a guest host, my good friend Trucker Tom, the very popular podcaster, and he's going to be on with us in just a minute, and so stay with us. I think you'll be happy you did.
Good morning. Now stay right here on KSCO Radio.
Okay, it's the Saturday special on KSCO. 479-1080. You guys can decide the topic. I'm going to throw out a couple. There's a couple of things that I'm really interested in right today that I would like people to comment on if they choose to. Okay? Again, we're going to let the callers drive the program today. But I'm particularly interested in the following two topics. Okay? NPR. Something happened this way. I know earthquake is the main story, the Japanese earthquake. And I know, you know, the damage at the harbor is the main story, main local story. You know, they had one of these sting tapes where they caught someone on NPR saying, you know, unfavorable, uncomplimentary, sort of bigoted things about, people who think differently than they do. And it sort of showed their true colors here. So a lot of people, whereas this whole defunding thing that's been proposed ever since Juan Williams was fired, a few months back from NPR, I would have said that there's no way in the world that NPR and PBS would be defunded, even though that's what the Republicans were doing. It was strictly a political thing, and the Republicans are in control of the House now. So, of course, they voted to defund Corporation for Public Broadcasting, PBS and NPR. But I didn't think that could possibly happen because the Senate is never going to vote for that. And the president is certainly not going to vote for that. So how is it going to happen? You know, what happened this week sort of changed my whole thinking. Because when someone was captured, when the head of NPR, a guy named Schiller, was captured saying things that that just made everybody's jaw drop when they saw it. Not everybody, but a lot of people. You know, turned everything around about NPR. So I'm going to make my prediction right now. I think that NPR and PBS, as we have known them, are not long for this world in terms of funding from the government. I really think that it's going to end, but I don't think that the programming is going to end. I think that there is such a huge audience that appreciates, you know, the quality programming of PBS and NPR that they're going to be able to more than take up the slack by listener contributions and viewer donations, which they've always done. They're you know, masters at pledge drives and so forth. In fact, I hear at KSCO have taken a page out of their book. And you know, when funds get short, as you know, we appeal to our listeners at KSCO. If you like us, hey, you know, send us $5 or $10. You know, we're not proud. We'll graciously accept it. And I think NPR and PBS will and should continue, but fully supported by their listening audience. And by the way, I think that they should be allowed to sell advertising. So, and people can be free to choose what kind of programming they want to listen to or watch. Real simple. Okay. I don't know if there are people out there in KSCO land gasping, OMZ says that they should be defunded. Yes, I do say they should be defunded. I don't think anybody that espouses a particular political point of view should receive any government money. Okay? Any government money. But I think NPR and PBS will do just fine, thank you, if they continue to put out quality programming and serve their communities. Excuse me. So That's one topic that I'd like to get into today. 479-1080 is the phone number to call if you want to participate in the program. Another topic, we world premiered a new program on KSCO yesterday, The Costa Report, with my friend Rebecca Costa, who's written a great book called The Watchman's Rattle. And she's been a guest a number of times leading up to this. And her maiden her inaugural broadcast yesterday featured an interview with Ron Paul. And I thought she did an amazing job. And the program itself has been designed to bring freshness to talk radio. And the first hour of the two-hour format is what Rebecca has deemed to be listen radio, not talk radio, just listen. And the second hour is talk radio, talking presumably about what went on during the first hour. So if any of you are out there in the Saturday special listening audience who happen to hear that program yesterday from 2 to 4 p.m., I'm really interested in your thoughts, because we plan to really develop that program here at KSCO, and we'd like it to be a model for other stations to serve their community. And, in fact, we plan to make that program available to other stations, as we have done with Dead Doctors Don't Lie for the last 14, 15 years or so. So, anyhow, those are my suggested topics for the Saturday special today. And, again, if you would like to give us a call and become part of this program, the phone number to use is our area code 831-479-1080, 479-1080. You can email me, mz@ksco.com, if you would prefer to participate that way. For now, let me introduce my good friend, Trucker Tom Wiles, whom I met, I don't know, about 4 or 5 years ago. And he's a man who harnesses the new media. He probably has as big an audience or bigger than we have at KSCO here through his Trucker Tom podcast. Hey, Tom, how you doing? Wait a minute. I thought I had you on, but I guess I don't here. And I'm going to – now I do, right? There you are.
Okay, yeah. How are you doing?
I'm doing well, Tom. Hey, how are you and where are you?
Right now I am at Oak Grove, Kentucky, and I'm on my way to Kansas City, Kansas. So, but I'm parked right now, so we should.
So how's work been for you in the last few months or year or whatever? There was a time when you were home and you were, I don't know if furloughed is the word, but you weren't working.
Well, I wasn't necessarily home. I was there was a period of time, and it's been upwards, I'd say, at least 9 months ago now, where things got very slow. And so I was out on the road, and I was getting loads, but there were delays, sometimes a day or two in between little short loads, and then there'd be a delay of a day or two while I just sat waiting for the next load to happen. Uh-huh. And so what has happened now, there's been a huge number of mom-and-pop trucking companies that have gone out of business. So there aren't – I'd say that the peak was probably in 2008. That's when the peak number of trucks were out on the road.
Yeah.
And since then, there's been a pretty good decline in the number of trucks that are on the road. So what has happened, the company that I work for is a larger company, but it's debt-free, which is key. Debt is a killer if you're like a mom-and-pop trucking company, or even a privately-owned trucking company or any kind of company. Debt is a killer, and so a lot of those companies, there were a lot of companies that went out of business because of that. With the price of the fuel, and then the amount, the volume of freight dropped off, and the equation no longer worked. But a debt-free company is in a position, you know, to really weather almost any kind of storm, apart from if you end up with, the currency's all debased, then that's another problem. But
boy, I'll say.
But in any case, my company has adjusted. I'm staying busy. I'm hauling a lot of shorter loads, overnight-type loads. But I am staying busy, and I'm surviving, and that's really all that counts. So I'm still kind of plugging along.
Well, you and I became acquainted when I read about you in a Southwest Airlines in-flight magazine. And I think it was 2006, about how you go barreling down the road, dictating your thoughts into a recorder and then posting it up on the internet, and how hundreds or thousands of people are listening to your Trucker Tom podcast. And I thought that was really, really cool.
Yeah, that might have been 2005. I'd have to go back and look now. I don't remember when that was published. I think it was 2005, but it might have. I just can't remember.
Yeah.
It had to be 2005. But go ahead.
Well, so you used to, I mean, you've been doing this for many years. You used to listen to AM talk radio a lot, right?
Yeah, back obviously before the internet and even before podcasting, which kind of came along in 2005. Before that, I was just kind of stuck listening to the radio, AM and FM radio, and I don't know if you've ever driven cross-country, but for the most part, you're changing channels. If you're listening to a radio station, you're changing stations about every 30 minutes if you're driving cross-country.
Sure.
You're kind of in range and out of range, and then there's
right.
always static. And then you get in certain parts of the country where there are very few stations, and maybe, you know, like you're crossing Wyoming or whatever, all that's there might be a station that's giving a farm report or maybe playing some kind of music or something or other. And so then it was an exercise. Well, I've got to find, if I want to listen to the radio, find whatever the least boring thing is.
Yeah.
of course, today with the internet and podcasting and...
it's pretty much impossible to be bored these days, right?
The ubiquity with the 3G's kind of popping up everywhere, and then, you know, with 4G maybe coming online in a couple of years, and with podcasting, there's no point in having to deter, you know, to listen to whatever is the least boring. You can actually, starting in 2005 or late 2004, when I first heard about podcasting and I realized what it was, I knew at that point that was what I'd been looking for years, because I was able to then pick and choose what I wanted to listen to when I want to listen to it. And so I can.
So that can be seen as sort of a threat to a station like us, because, oh, golly, don't want people. But you know what? Here's what I say to that. That keeps us on our toes putting out good programming that we originate ourselves.
Now, the thing with podcasting and the thing with any media, if you think about it, there are three reasons that you're going to listen to something or consume media, it even translates into the friends that you have. You know, you're either going to pick something to consume or listen to because it's entertaining, which is fine, or it's going to be informative, or it's going to help you, basically edify your character. Those three things, three most meaningful reasons that you have a friend, that you're going to pick a friend, or you're going to listen to media, you know, consume some sort of media. And so, the problem with, traditional radio, especially with people driving for years and years, they kind of had a monopoly. I mean, you could switch from one station to the next, but they all kind of tended to sound alike, and they really weren't competing with each other. And then it became an exercise, well, I've got to find what the least boring thing is. Well, that is all changing radically, and now it's happening in the world of television as well. With the DVRs and the TV that's kind of popping up on the internet and the increased bandwidth that's happening to television now, what has happened for radio is now happening to television, and that's kind of causing consternation. Now, a number of months ago, I dropped my Dish Network. I had a Dish Network account that I was paying with a HD DVR, and I was paying $100 a month for it, and I had it I don't know how long, for years. And I decided, this is ridiculous. I'm tired of paying this money every month.
Well, if you're on the road most of the time, Tom, I mean, it doesn't make sense.
Well, DVR, but it was a DVR, so I had a program to record a bunch of stuff, and then when I would go home, I'd go home 4 or 5 days, and I'd have a kind of a ready-made stack of things to watch that I was picking and choosing. But even at that, I decided with all of the stuff, especially Netflix is available, you can. The really cool thing about Netflix is that it sort of forces you to, you know, you set up your. Yeah, I don't know if you have a Netflix account or not, but
I do. And in fact, I had asked Reed Hastings, who is the founder of Netflix, to be the guest on this program, and he turned me down. He said he was too swamped.
Yeah, well.
Thank you for the invite. But yeah, I do have a. I've been wanting to have him on for a long time. It's an amazing company.
Well, see, the thing with Netflix, you get your Netflix account, and then you use it best. You just go on the website after you get the account, and then you just kind of start going through movies, sort of following their process, going through movies and adding them. You have a DVD queue if you've got a DVD account, which I do. Or you can, now they've had just a streaming only account, but you just, either way, you go through and you set up, movies that either go into your streaming queue or into your DVD / Blu-ray queue if you want Blu-ray, if that's available for particular movies, discs. But, you set this queue up and then, you know, come back later. Well, I decide I want to watch something. And so, I can either watch it out here on the
and all of this costs what $8 a month, $8 or $9 a month, something like that.
Right, it depends on the package. They have several different options.
It's nothing like Dish or their satellite TV, which you know by the time you're all finished, it's somewhere around $100 a month if you want to get any.
Exactly.
You know.
Now you do have to have an internet connection, and by the way, a 3G type of connection, typically depending on the cell you're connected to. Typically is fast enough for Netflix to function.
Sure.
So in any case, the interesting thing that I've observed about that is that once I got that next Netflix account and I kind of dumped the Dish Network account, then I've got this queue of stuff. I've got like 170 movies or better in each one of those queues, in the DVD queue and the streaming queue. And so I've got these queues set up. So if I want to watch something right now, I go to the streaming queue, and I just kind of thumb through there, and once in a while I'll find something that I, you know, this is boring, I don't like it, this is wasting my time, and so I just click off of it and go to something else. And so I'm, you know, by picking and choosing what I, you know, kind of forcing me to pick and choose what I'm looking for,
right.
You know, what I want to watch.
Well, what do you do for news? What do you do for news?
Well, let me finish this.
Oh.
I actually end up with stuff that's better, as opposed to the sitting down with the remote control in front of the television looking for the least boring thing that's on.
Right.
Now, for news, it's the same thing I've done for ages. I get most of it online. I get the vast majority of my news online. I've got several different websites that I like to go to, and so I'm able to really keep abreast of whatever's going. You know, there's this. If you sit in front of CNN all day, you can end up, or it could be Fox or any news channel, or just sit there with your remote control and flip through them. If you sat there for several hours, you can easily end up with the illusion, because they keep repeating this stuff over and over, these stories. You can end up with the illusion that you're really well informed. Well, what if they leave major stories out? Which they do, by the way. They, you know, they'll leave major stories out in this kind of a sin of omission, and you've got this illusion, boy, I'm just super informed, and you're not. And I've noticed that that's been going on for years now, and I think that's one of the major reasons that the television viewership, especially news, people watching news, is on, you know, it's in the way to the toilet. It's going down. And it's because people are really, really, a lot of people are realizing more than ever that they're just kind of giving me the information that they want me to have, so I'll come to their conclusion.
Yeah.
And that kind of falls apart, you know, like this Japanese earthquake is interesting. Anytime there's just some huge major disaster, especially a natural disaster, it kind of forces the news people to drop their filters and drop their agendas and simply report what's going on.
Uh-huh.
And that's kind of an interesting thing. Then you have people that are really...
Yeah, I never thought of that. Yeah, I went down to the harbor after at 5 o'clock yesterday, where, and I was amazed to see there must have been 100 television trucks there. I had no idea that we were as much the focus of this news story. Now, I mean, obviously, I'm exaggerating now, but we were more the focus of the Japanese earthquake disaster in the United States than anybody else was. Here in little old Santa Cruz, because of our small craft harbor, where we had some damage, and nobody else did. I guess up in Crescent City they did, but we were sort of easy to get to. I had no idea there would be that many, and they were just waiting and waiting and waiting for something to go on. And Rob Flatibo from Channel 4, KRON TV in San Francisco, was standing next to me, and I started talking, and he recognized my voice from the radio. I was delighted to hear that he listens to us, and he says, well, would you go on and on the air with me here for a live news story? And I said, what would I say? I'm just coming down here to... Well, you own the radio station. You've been covering this. I said, well, that's not me. It's my staff, and they're not here. Let me see if I can get one of them on that cell phone. There's no time. We got to go on live right now, so... I went on live and was going, and it turned out being a great commercial for KSCO, being one of the last stations to serve its community and put out information. I explained that we went into earthquake mode when when this thing hit, and suspended all our regular programming, and just took calls from the audience. And every community should have a KSCO. But hardly any does, you know, because, I don't know, I guess it just doesn't pay. That's what I could think. By the way, you know, I want to take some other calls here, because I invited calls. Tom, what's your take on the NPR thing? Do you agree with me?
Well, yes, I do. For years I've thought that NPR, there should be a separation between government and ideology. And let's face it, NPR, they're liberals. They're way out there. They're liberals. Now, I don't have any problem with that. If somebody wants to be a liberal, that's fine. But I don't want my tax dollars. I don't want my tax dollars. I don't want to be forced into supporting that. I'm sorry. And they try to say, oh, well, we have complaints that we're too conservative. Well, who from? Not me. At the same time, I don't listen to NPR much. You know, there's so much more interest. There's way more interesting stuff than I can ever possibly listen to just in podcast land. There's so much good stuff out there. But so at the same time now.
Tell our audience about all that. Keep that to yourself.
At the same time, I've got a DVR set up at home that's recording local TV channels. Since I dropped the Dish Network, I've got this pretty good size. I live out in a rural area. I've got a pretty good size TV antenna. And because of the digital broadcasting, I'm getting like 16, 17, you know, depending on atmospheric conditions, I'm getting all of these channels. A lot of them are split channels, but getting all these channels. And it's, so I'm able to record. I'm recording, and a lot of the stuff I'm recording, or if I'm at home, I'll end up watching PBS. I can get the one there in Arkansas where I live, and then I can also get the PBS from Oklahoma, the OETA and AETN, Arkansas Educational Television Network, and OETA is the Oklahoma version of that. And so I'm watching a lot of their programming. Now, I don't really particularly care about their news hour or whatever, because it's kind of boring and slanted and what have you. Some of their programming is excellent, as far as what, you know, what they're, if, as long as there's no political agenda behind it. So there shouldn't be any, the government should not be funding political viewpoints. I agree with you there. And by the way, the government, there should be a separation, you know, if you want a separation of church and state, there should be a separation of church and science. Our science is totally corrupted today. And, you know, and it's almost you know, you've got all these scientists, and they're sitting around waiting for government funding. Then you get this phenomenon where, you know, people are kind of like lemmings, especially if they're depending on something for their livelihood. They're kind of like
except
lemmings.
KSCO listeners. We prohibit unintelligent people from even listening to our station, and that includes lemmings.
Well, that's easy to prohibit somebody from listening. It's kind of like my podcast. I figure if people don't like my podcast, then, you know, nobody's sitting there with a gun forcing them to listen. It's totally by choice.
Yes, and because they haven't taken our guns away yet.
That's the way everything should be, is by choice. But the problem is the science community, like with this global warming thing, everybody, you have to believe in global warming, or we're gonna defund you. You know, we should have a separation between, you know, between church or from between state and science.
Fascinating topic, boy. That could be a topic for a whole Saturday special in and of itself. Hey, that voice belongs to Trucker Tom Wiles, who is a podcaster. Truckerphoto.com, is that right, Tom?
Yeah, Trucker, well, that's one of my websites, and then where the podcast is located is TruckerTomPodcast.com.
Okay. And he's a guest / co-host with me, MZ, on the Saturday special. And it's pretty much an open mic, although I did say I want people to weigh in on the NPR PBS defunding by the government. And let me know what your thoughts are. And if you agree with me that NPR and PBS will not go away if they are defunded, they'll be stronger than ever, I think.
I believe that they. Yeah. I would actually consider supporting them were it not for the fact that giving them money is supporting viewpoints, you know, the liberal viewpoint, the skewed liberal viewpoint that I don't agree with. I'm sorry. And so I have the option of withholding my funds. And so
that's why we failed when in 2005, 2006, 18 months, we did an experiment. We put in not NPR but Air America on KOMY because we figured, hey, it's a, you know, super liberal town. If it should work anywhere, it should be here. And in 18 months, we didn't sell one ad. And I found out later that someone called the local talk show here on 1080 and said, hey, you know, we really appreciate, I'm what you would call a liberal business person. I love the fact that, you know, Air America is brought here by Zwirling here. But I also know that Zwirling has a state, also owns another station that has Rush Limbaugh on it. And there's no way in the world that I am going to, that I'm going to advertise on even the Air America station because somehow my money is going to get into Rush Limbaugh's pocket.
Well,
I knew what I was up against it right then. And so I can understand people don't want to in any way support something that they disagree with. And you've just reinforced that.
You know, what's interesting is that there really were sort of liberal business type people, which I've never been able to wrap my mind around that concept very well, because there's some parts of liberalism that just completely go against the idea of somebody being in business. But would you be willing to destroy your business? Let's say you needed to advertise.
Well, they might have thought that it would destroy their business if they.
Let's look at it from your viewpoint. If you've got the Dr. Wallach stuff, you know, and you're advertising, are you going to go pick and choose who you're going to advertise with, or are you going to go to the most effective advertising platform?
Oh, that's what I would do.
I would go to the most effective advertising platform, because otherwise would be to destroy your own business.
And I maintain that of all local advertising in the Monterey Bay area, we are hands down the best value and the most effective. But, of course, I'm biased. Hold on, Trucker Tom Wiles. We have the boss here. Rosie.
Morning, boss.
Hey,
how
Rosie.
Are you?
I'm okay. How are you?
I'm recovered now.
Oh, good. Yeah. You did a great job yesterday. Thank you and the staff. It was fantastic.
Yeah, I just wanted to give a shout out. Yesterday we went on live at 5 a.m. and We had three interns who've never been through an emergency on the station in terms of backup. Michael Larson, Rachel Shelton did a stellar job. Catherine Cunningham did a great job. She went down to the harbor. And Alice Vacchiola in the newsroom and Ricochet. It's a very exciting thing to be a part of. And I got an email, interestingly enough, from Brad Carver, who was out on the beach because he was covering it for Patch.com. And he sent me an email and he said, everyone I'm talking to, is listening to you on the radio. Which I was just very, very gratifying. But I'm very concerned about the situation that occurred in Watsonville, and I don't know what we as a community can do to address it, but we should. The fact that there was panic, Carlton Road, Castley Road, and 152 at gridlock, a complete standstill with hundreds of cars at the top of Highway 17 because of the fears of a really huge tsunami, which is what the word went out, people waking each other up at 2 and 3 in the morning and families just piling themselves in their cars and fearing the very worst. And it really bothers me that there wasn't a radio station that was able to address that problem. And albeit we did do one broadcast about it in Spanish, which drew the ire of some listeners, it just really concerns me.
You know, Rosie, I received that email, I don't know, at about 7:30, 8 o'clock, and I forwarded it to you. I read it, and I just sort of shrugged it off, but I understand it really irritated you, and I'm understanding why now. The email basically says, how dare you, have anything in Spanish? You're an English-speaking radio station. And
I was mortified to read that, absolutely mortified, and very gratified that the conversation was had with Corey Gold, and very gratified at the calls we received both on and certainly off the air saying that we did exactly the right thing. And that is one issue, but the actual issue of the fact that there was panic and there was nothing we could do about it to address it. The Office of Emergency Services said they did a reverse 911 call, but obviously that wasn't effective because there was panic.
Well, maybe it was ineffective. Maybe that's what caused the panic. What did the call say? It might have given people the wrong impression.
Not at all. No. It said that for three blocks from the ocean, you could evacuate if you wanted to. It was not a mandatory evacuation. But somehow, and that was at 6:40 in the morning, but this occurred, Michael, at 2 in the morning in Watsonville. And it's absolutely very disturbing that there is not a... If not us, another station that's addressing those needs and can deal with that coverage. And if it has to be done in Spanish, so be it. It's very, very worrying that occurred, that hundreds and hundreds of people put their families in the car and were fleeing this huge tsunami. I heard word that maybe it was because the television station, Telemundo, was exaggerating the situation. I do not know if that is true, but no matter what, we as a community, we need to be looking at what we can do to rectify this. I really believe very strongly in it. I intend to have a...
What do you think we can do?
I don't know what we can do, but I intend to have a discussion with the mayor of Watsonville or certainly their police department or community leaders, because imagine what that could have done in other circumstances where people are just rushing to judgment. And we live in an age where we have Twitter and we have Facebook and we have all of these social network sites and we have terrestrial radio, and there has to be another way. And if anyone has got any great ideas, boy, I would love to hear from you. My email is rosie@ksdo.com. That's R-O-S-I-E. But I really believe that we need to pursue it, and this is an issue. And to hell with broadcasting in Spanish on our station. If we want to do that, we're going to do it. So there.
So what exactly happened? I mean, I was talking to our good friend Richard N. Watsonville, who is going to be the next caller here, who's been on hold for quite a while. And I wasn't quite sure. This wasn't part of the EAS, was it, the emergency alert?
No, what happened was that mistakenly hundreds of Mexican families or Latino families, call them whatever you want to call them, got in their cars at 2 o'clock in the morning, having been rousted by neighbors. And I received dozens of calls about this yesterday. It wasn't just one isolated call. And they believed that the tsunami watch that we had, the advisory that we had, was a huge tsunami. And of course, if you're living in Watsonville, you're low level. And so people got in their cars, they left their homes, and they mostly left on 152. By the time any commute got underway, Highway 152 and the two roads feeding it, Carlton Road and Casserly Road, and those of you in Watsonville will know exactly what I'm referring to, was at a standstill. And it was just blocked with car upon car upon car of Latino families.
So what did we do that made some of our listeners angry because it was in Spanish?
And his name is Enrique, and I cannot remember his last name. He's the PIO for OES Santa Cruz, Office of Emergency Services. And I, first of all, I said, this needs to be addressed, and I believe that they were listening. And he called and told our producers that it had been done. There was a reverse 911 call. That's what they, OES, did. And so I went, well, you know what? You speak Spanish. You should do this on the radio. So I phoned him back, and he did come on the air, and it was just before 8 o'clock in the morning, and he just put out what the situation was, the phone numbers to call, what the situation was vis-a-vis evacuations. It was not mandatory, recommended for people within three blocks of the ocean. And he put out the phone numbers, and I said, thank you. And I thought it was a perfectly civic-minded thing for the station to do.
Sure.
I mean, we're all community. And then I got that email from that woman that she sent to me as well. And I just thought it was very mean-spirited, frankly. But I do believe that we have a conversation that needs to be had about something I've never really experienced before at the station in 20 years, which is mass panic by one sector of our community. And it was a very strange scenario.
Wow.
So anyway, I just wanted to air that one out. But again, to say really thanks to the staff. They did an awesome job. And it's a very exciting time when you're on radio doing that kind of thing. And all the phone calls and all the information that came through from the listeners are greatly appreciated. And it's always a pleasure to be a part of the station when it's doing what it does very, very well.
Thank you, Rosie.
Okay, bye.
There goes Rosemary Chalmers, who's the program director and host of Good Morning Monterey Bay. She works with Rick O'Shea and Susan Simon and Alice Vecchiola and the whole gang here from 6 to 9 a.m. weekdays on Good Morning Monterey Bay. We need to take a commercial break. We got a whole board full of phone calls that we will go to, and one line open, the line that Rosie evacuated. Ooh, that's a word, huh, for the telephone. So we have one space available at 479-1080. So if you want to call, now's the time to call, and we will come back after this break and go to the phone lines. Stay with us. It's KSCO, your favorite radio station, or if it's not, it should be.
Hi, this is Sherry from Woodworm Party Store. Great news. We've just remodeled our Capitol store and are so excited that we are celebrating this Saturday, March 12th, with a grand opening party from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. We have new carpet, new layout, new product, wider aisles. This Saturday, we'll also have giveaways, glitter tattoos, bounce house for the kids, and Capitola Chamber will be there at 11 o'clock for ribbon cutting. We are also celebrating 38 years in business, April 1st through the 5th, with 25% off everything in stock and birthday cake. Hope to see you there.
Winter is the time to make certain your home is safe and ready for the long, dark nights. Hi, I'm Charlie Friedman.
And I'm Tino from JM Electric. Charlie's right. Get a free, no-obligation electrical safety assessment from JM Electric. Listen.
My name is Lane LeCompte, and I live in Soquel. My home is about 45 years old. There were a lot of things I was wondering how my home was still standing. And I want to make sure that my home is safe. Oh, they came out. They were wonderful. They really took care of everything, of all of the items we had. Yes, I sleep very well after the work that they did.
Don't wait until you blow a circuit. Call for a free, no-obligation electrical safety assessment from JM Electric today.
I'll personally come out and walk through your home to see if I can spot any trouble before it happens. I'm Tino at JM Electric, 422-7819. That's 422-7819 or jmelectric.com, and tell them Charlie sent you.
Hi, I'm Andy, the produce manager at Ben Lomond Market. Spring is almost here, which means it's artichoke time. And this week we are featuring local-grown large artichokes, 2 for $4. These beauties have been touched with a kiss of frost, which makes them very tender and full of flavor. We also have California celery, 99 cents each, and 1 pound clamshell strawberries, 2 for $5. In organic, we are featuring California red potatoes, 88 cents a pound, and Washington Braeburn apples, 77 cents a pound. We also have all your St. Patrick's Day produce items on sale. Green cabbage, large red potatoes, white onions, and 2 pound bag carrots. Bring on the corned beef. So come and check out our great selection of fresh produce at Ben Lomond Market and Scotts Valley Markets.
Well, I'm sure you must have heard this again and again.
What would you get if you combined the great taste of that breakfast drink Tang along with 187 different vitamins, minerals, antioxidants, enzymes, added in the healing properties of green tea?
Flowerpowerdrink.com.
Let me share with you a new tasty treat idea. Take one packet of Pollen Burst energy drink and pour it into a hot cup of water. That's right, a hot cup. Mmm, it tastes delicious, especially in these cold, chilly days. Or instead of a cup of coffee or tea.
Flowerpowerdrink.com.
Long-term sustained energy without the jitters. It helped people lose weight and gave more cellular nutrition than the best multivitamin known to man.
Flowerpowerdrink.com.
The natural energy drink polymers. Try it, you'll like it.
Flowerpowerdrink.com.
Your choice of bumper music, it's so perfect. Way to go, Nikki. That's why we let these bumper musics run much longer than any other station does, because Nikki chooses the best ones. All right, welcome back to hour number one of the Saturday special. It's MZ, sort of an open mic program today. We've got trucker Tom Wiles with us on the line where is it, Tom?
I'm in Oak Grove, Kentucky.
Okay, Oak Grove, Kentucky. Stand by. Hold on a second. Richard N. Watsonville is called, like...
Hey, thank you, Michael. How you doing?
Good. And sorry to keep you waiting all this time. Thank you for calling in.
No problem. You don't happen to know when the full moon's happening, do you?
Mm-mm. No.
I looked at it last night. It looked like about a quarter moon. So everybody should get ready for some more excitement. I think this is just the beginning.
Seriously.
I mean, the moon's at the closest part of the Earth right now. It's going into a full. Imagine what pull it's going to have when it's full, man. You know, but I was listening to Rosemary, and you were talking about Kava and Channel 4 TV down there on the beach, but, you know, reporting for these other people. And they can't, and they're wishing they could be feeding the feed to us. I'm wondering why in the hell we just don't become disaster control. for everybody.
That's a good point. We need to put out a press release. I was talking this morning about that.
And be the local clearinghouse for that.
Yeah.
Now, all
the listeners in the Monterey Bay Area know to tune into KSCO during a disaster.
Yeah, but you're
including a power outage.
Yeah, but you're driving down Highway 1. There's that great big sign before you get to the Soquel exit, the Soquel Drive exit,
yeah,
by Dominican there.
Yeah.
And it said, I saw yesterday, tsunami warning, stay out of low-lying areas, in English only. Now, should that be in Spanish? I think so.
Well, it's
but then we should have somebody from EAS, like that Enrique guy, in Portuguese, Chinese, you know, Japanese, Vietnamese, you know, all them languages. We should be doing all that stuff. We're not doing any of that stuff. If I had my way, folks, we would close that stupid harbor, that stupid man-made harbor. Do you remember before that harbor was there, Michael?
Perfectly. I used to go hunt turtles there at Pacific.
Exactly.
Yeah, at Woods Lagoon. It was great.
Oh, man, we'd start out at Roy Hooton's house. But, you know, these people have turned it into a dump hole.
It's not very well designed, engineered. That's for sure, because
the jet skis are out there, Mavericks, folks, out there in the big waves. Where were the jet skis yesterday out there in the boat harbor, hooking onto the boats and pulling them over to the people that were standing there just watching, so they could hang onto the boats and none of them would have crashed, none of them would have sunk. But no, we got to have martial law. We got to have the cops and the firemen and the harbor master and the lifeguards get off the beach, get away from the coast, do this, do that. What a bunch of nonsense. And how much did this cost us? $17 million last I heard, just at the harbor alone. You know, so if we're going to have stuff like this, I suggest you guys just close your boat harbor down and put the damn boats back where the hell they used to be, on both sides of the Santa Cruz Municipal Wharf, tied up to a damn buoy somewhere. Because the boat harbor is only there because of the stinking dredge. Now, during the Alaskan earthquake, that dredge was swamped.
Yeah.
Instead, they have enough sense the night before when the earthquake happens to loosen the ropes up this time so it's not solid, Mike.
Yeah.
Everybody else tied the rigs down and pull the docks up. How stupid can people get? I'm seeing how stupid they can get now because I was listening to Jennifer Hodges on KGO going, I'm seeing chunks of floating concrete. Now, when in the hell does cement and concrete start floating in the boat harbor? What the hell is that all about, Michael?
You know, you're right.
She said that on KGO, and I'm going, what the hell is going on? This was just a...
You know, Jennifer, are you sure you heard that, Richard?
I heard out of Jennifer.
Because Jennifer used to be our news director before she was promoted, before she was invited to join KGO. We're going to have a talk with her.
Well,
it's a good excuse to talk with Jennifer, who I think is a great person.
She is a great person, but she goes overboard when she wants to create a little hysteria. And that's all that happened here. I mean, Crescent City got wiped out worse than we did, and they lost somebody. And that's the way it was when the earthquake hit Alaska, remember?
Yeah, 1964.
Good Friday or something.
Yeah.
The same damn day
it in April. Know. It was in April of 1964. I remember it well. Richard, thank you so much for your call. I appreciate it. Here's Chris in Watsonville. Chris, you're on the air on KSCO.
Hey, MZ.
Hey.
Yeah, I'm in Watsonville. It was kind of crazy. There was no people out walking hardly at all yesterday, and a lot of the stores, especially the Mexican ones, were closed down. You know, that was quite interesting. Anyway, I met you at the party. My name is Chris Turner, and I wrote you guys a jingle, and you guys played it on the radio earlier this week. Had really good reviews. Everything was awesome, and I appreciate you playing that. And they said maybe you could get me hooked up to CBS Records or something.
I don't know anybody there, but if they're listening... You know, because you never know who's listening to this station.
I know. Did you happen to hear the song at all?
No. Do we have it? Do you know?
Yeah, Rosie's got a CD of it.
Oh, she does? Oh, okay.
Yeah, so talk to her, and if you could hear that. And they wanted me to write them a song for Good Morning Monterey Bay.
Uh-huh.
And I got that one done.
Cool.
So I got him a song.
I will ask about it. And if Rosie's listening, maybe she can call and tell Nikki where it is and we can play it even during this broadcast. We'll
talk. Yeah, you can play it as many times a day as you want.
Okay, Chris, thank you.
Hey, all right.
You take care. Hey, I want Rory and Millie and, of course, Trucker Tom to stay with us. It's KSCO Santa Cruz, Salinas, Monterey, San Jose. It's 11 a.m. Here's Fox News.
Fox News Radio, I'm Karen Regal. Hundreds are dead in Japan, thousands more missing, and the damage is astonishing.
You see cars stuck into fences. You see them on top of each other in some cases. This city itself, about three-quarters has power, and about one-quarter is without power, all still from what's from the tsunami and the earthquake.
Fox's Adam Housley reporting from about 100 miles outside Tokyo. A major concern is the nuclear plant in Japan.
Even though the walls were knocked out from that blast, which actually housed the reactor. This metal container, which contains the reactor, wasn't breached, which is very important. They also say that the pressure is going down on the reactor now, and also there wasn't any rise in the radiation.
Fox's David Piper reporting from Tokyo. In Libya, Muammar Gaddafi's army snapping back at the rebels.
Gaddafi's army continues to pummel the rebels. Not only are they better trained, they're better equipped, they have much better tanks and other kinds of heavy artillery pieces. In addition to that, they have Gaddafi's air force, which continues to pound away.
Fox's Leland Vittert reporting from Libya. Police say a tractor trailer clipped a tour bus on I-95 in the Bronx, New York, leaving 13 dead and the injured. At least 8 are in bad shape.
We have no minor injuries at this time. Everyone is considered at least serious.
That's New York Police Commissioner Ray Kelly. Investigators say the bus flipped, hit a signpost, which then ripped through the bus, which was coming home from a Connecticut casino. That truck did not stop. Police are searching for it now. It is time to spring ahead. The official switch to daylight saving time comes at 2 a.m. tomorrow morning. We'll get an extra hour of daylight. Not everyone makes that change. Hawaii, most of Arizona, and Puerto Rico among those who don't. You're listening to Fox News Radio, fair and balanced.
This is Fox News Talk.
Fox and Friends Encore. Encore.
Comedian and actor Marlon Wayans.
We've been watching you and your family ever since the days of that hit show on Fox. It was one of the first big shows on Fox called In Living Color.
Yes, I like the way you said it. In Living Color. Like
the number one fly girl who you used to work
with. We are not.
J-Lo.
J-Lo.
You could have been a fly girl.
No.
You fly girl.
Oh, well. So what do you think about J-Lo going from those images of In Living Color to now a judge? She's an American Idol. Yeah, she looks a little different.
I'm proud of her. You know what I mean? It's like for any of us coming from a living color, it's like you're graduating class.
Right.
And I was kind of like the freshman watching my graduating class and seeing what they're doing, her, Fox, Jim, just everybody. And the fact that we was all a part of In Living Color is a special thing for me and a special thing for my family. And my brother, Keenan, got a really good eye.
No kidding.
He knows talent.
He does.
Don't miss Fox and Friends weekday mornings on the Fox News Channel.
Floodwaters causing trouble in the Northeast. People from New England down through the mid-Atlantic are hoping to dry out after melting snow and heavy rain have caused flooding.
This is something that happens, it seems, every year now. Heavy rains melting snow at the end of winter, resulting in extensive flooding throughout New Jersey, northern New Jersey, Connecticut, upstate New York, a real mess.
Fox's Julie Banderas reporting from the soggy Little Falls, New Jersey. It took rescue crews hours to get over 80 people off a restaurant that was supposed to be attached to a barge on the Ohio River. The restaurant, which serves seafood, broke away on the flooded Ohio River and began to drift downstream. Firefighters made a gangplank of ropes and ladders to get people to safety. Another rally in Wisconsin, even though the governor has already signed his budget bill.
AFL-CIO President Richard Trumka is among the union leaders expected to take across the country a message similar to one he delivered here in Madison, Wisconsin a few weeks ago.
You're stronger than your governor, you're stronger than his CEO backers, and you're stronger because we're united.
Asked why he thinks the spotlight hit his state, Governor Walker says,
because we're a swing state, and I think this was a critical stand for them, and that's why the president interjected his political team. It's why the national political bosses have come in from the unions.
Similar union budget battles are taking place in several Midwest states, including Indiana, Ohio, and Michigan. In Madison, Wisconsin, Jennifer Kuiper, Fox News Radio.
An Italian singer whose voice was banned from radio during the reign of Mussolini because he thought it was too sensual has has died. Nila Pizzi was not allowed to do radio work in the years before World War II because fascist leaders thought her voice was too modern, erotic, and sensual. In 1951, she became Italy's San Remo Song Festival champion, the first. Nila Pizzi was 91 years old. Karen Riegel, Fox News Radio.
Good morning, everyone. You're tuned in to KSCO 1080. I'm Nikki James. Got your forecast here. Partly sunny today, high of 61, west winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tonight's going to be mostly cloudy, low of 44 with light winds, and Sunday mostly cloudy in the morning, then periods of showers in the afternoon. High of 64, south-southeast winds 10 to 15 miles per hour. Out there on the Monterey Bay, the northeast winds 5 to 10 knots, becoming west 5 to 15 in the afternoon. Wind waves less than 2 feet and a west swell of 4 to 6 feet at 13 seconds. Tonight out there, south winds 5 to 10 knots, wind waves less than 2 feet, a west swell of 5 to 7 feet at 14 seconds. And on Sunday, the southeast winds 5 to 10 knots, wind waves less than 2 feet, a west swell of 4 to 6 feet at 13 seconds. For your KSCO King of the Hill traffic update, there's a traffic hazard that was just reported a few minutes ago. It's on northbound 1, just north of State Park Drive. Doesn't give me any information. There's something on the road, so watch out for that one. If you see anything, give me a call, 475-1080, and I'll report it. I've got some current temperatures here for you. Watsonville's at 55. It's 54 in Monterey. And in Salinas, it's 53. We're at 65 here in Santa Cruz, right outside KSCO Studios. The official time, 11:06 and 50 seconds on this Saturday, March 12th. Up next, Saturday special, second hour. Stay tuned. KSCO Santa Cruz, I'm Nikki James.
I just realized something horrible.
Uh-oh, what?
That we broke format. We played the hour one open, the one that starts out like this.
Yes.
You know, we played that.
Yep.
But we didn't play the special fanfare for there being a special program where we.
You'll get fired for it though.
Well, but we should do it anyhow, don't you think?
Sure.
At least I'm not being bugged anymore. Something was bugging me all last hour, and I finally figured it out that we hadn't played that. Now, what normally happens now if we are following format properly? Oh, yeah, that's you.
I'm getting Kay's commentary ready, but open second hour?
Oh.
And then
yeah.
Kay's.
Yeah, thank you.
No worries.
So you'll be ready when...
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so after I do this...
Mm-hmm.
Oh, hello, darling. I hate to hang up on you, but... I'm sorry, baby, but I have to go. It's time for that wonderful record show. I'd love to visit, but you'll have to call back.
Oh, my God. Can this be true? Dr. Rex Manson has submitted the nomination to the Santa Cruz Red Cross for Heroes Recognition. And he talked about Rosie and the staff at KSCO.
I'm sorry, baby, but I really gotta go to KSCO Radio. Bye.
And I've always considered Rex among our most intelligent of intelligent KSCO listeners. Thank you, Rex. Appreciate it. Welcome to hour number two of the KSCO Saturday special, and we do have the K's commentary, and to prove it, here it is.
The following is a KSCO commentary. Here is K's Whirling.
Last fall, Obama's radical left agenda received a strong negative response, but that has not deterred him. Instead, he's giving the American people the middle finger and is rapidly moving ahead with his agenda. His new plan is to circumvent Congress and implement his socialist schemes through unelected bureaucracies like the Federal Communications Commission, the FCC. He aims to shut down talk radio before the 2012 election. Obama needs only three votes from the five-member FCC to shut down conservative radio. He just got it. One new commissioner is Mignon Clyburn, daughter of Democratic House Leader Jim Clyburn, who also wants to shut down talk radio. Second chosen commissioner is Julius Genachowski, who has clerked for many liberal judges. And the final new person on the FCC is Mark Lloyd, called the FCC Chief Diversity Officer, who is also a senior fellow of the far-left Center for American Progress, funded by billionaire liberal George Soros. With more conservatives in the Senate and a majority in the House, we have a chance to block the FCC and force the president to back off his plan. I say, isn't it clear when someone powerful wants to silence someone else, it must be because the eager silencer knows that his position might not be so strong or fair. How cowardly. But Obama doesn't care. He will move fast because he really wants a four-year second term. As we speak, Obama et al. Just came up with new ways to destroy talk radio. According to Dick Morris in his new book, Revolt, the FCC now plans to close down stations the following four ways. 1. Shorten license for station from 8 years to 4 years. 2. 25% of talk station programming must be locally produced. 3. Require stations to establish community advisory boards. 4. FCC also wants to fine radio stations which break the above rules. All this is to stifle free speech. Shame on you, Barack. Most radio talk stations will not allow themselves to be dictated to in this oppressive and dictatorial manner and will fight the arrogant restrictions. Listeners, here we have a taste of socialism. Are we really going to give Obama another 4 years? All we can do is to be alert and reject loud and clear and tell our Congress to deny any funding whatsoever for the FCC. For KSCO, this is Case Whirling.
Who does not mince any words, does she? Rory in Watsonville.
Hey, thank you, Michael. Again, kudos to KSCO, Rosie, and the morning staff for the coverage yesterday, which was excellent. And I think that if there's one listener that was rubbed the wrong way because of a quick update in Spanish, too bad. I just ignore it, Rosie, because I got caught in that traffic. And I'll tell you, at 5 in the morning, I was up early. I live on Highway 129, which is the east-west artery in the Watsonville. I'm sure Trucker Tom's familiar with that road. But it was clear. There was normal traffic. But when I left a residence near the old hospital at Green Valley and Airport Road at 7, what should have been a 7-minute commute took over 45 minutes to get home. And I thought there was a wreck. There was so much traffic on the east-west Holohan Road. So I went another route, and I got just caught in it. So the other observation was my wife, who's fluent in Spanish, turned on the Spanish TV. She didn't listen to radio. But she said they were sensationalistic in how they were covering the earthquake and tsunami. And because it was bumper to bumper on Highway 129 going out of town. And by that time, it was, what, 7:30, quarter to 8, and people should have known that this thing was a non-event or a very small event. But the Spanish radio possibly was fanning, certainly the TV. There was another thing amongst my contacts that there was a rumor that they were being told on radio to go to Gilroy. So everybody was trying to, everybody that thought there was a big 30-foot tsunami coming, they were doing what they were told, just head to Gilroy east. So that's my observation.
Not real responsible. Now, listen, stay on the line, Rory. During the break, Trucker Tom said something to me about Comey. Want to say it again, Trucker Tom?
Yeah. While you were talking to Rosie, I got the idea. Well, why not put KOMY in a disaster like that, some sort of a disaster that's going on? Why not kind of put it into a Spanish mode? You know, interrupt your regular programming on there and bring on public officials that can that actually speak Spanish. And
I think that's a brilliant idea. Rosie, if you're still listening, we don't even need to have a meeting. Let's just implement Trucker Tom's brilliant idea.
That's a thought.
You could put in little announcements here and there so that people were aware of it.
The only challenge is Spanish-speaking people listen to Spanish radio, and how are they going to know to tune into Comey?
We'll put out public PSAs to all the Spanish radio stations that they should play at least once an hour, 24/7, to tell people that in the event of an emergency, they should tune out off this station and tune in to a normally English-speaking or music station, KOMY, AM 1340. Do you think they do that?
The other thing, if there's an actual disaster, like let's say a weather, some kind of tornado, or I know you don't have those, but some kind of weather thing or some sort of disaster, what people typically do, I know my behavior is to turn on the radio and start switching through channels to see what I can find. And I'm sure that a normal person would probably do that instead of just staying tuned in to whatever station that they're normally tuned into. They're probably, if my behavior is that if I can't find what I'm looking for, I'm going to go look for it elsewhere.
Yeah.
My other question, Michael, was what is the OES locally, what's their protocol for dealing with the Spanish-speaking population? Because I would think they would have given out some warnings that could have been read on Spanish radio.
I'll be honest with you, Rory. I don't know. I think that's what Rosie wants to find out also.
It was a snafu, and if there had been a real, tough situation where people needed to evacuate, you weren't going anywhere.
Yeah.
I mean, it was clogged OLA. So anyway.
I can tell you for sure that we're going to, we are in the future going to make, we need to find some fluent Spanish-speaking person to be associated with us for just that purpose. And the lady who wrote the angry email.
Fiddlestick. She's a sour puss. I mean, this is an emergency.
That's exactly right. She's a sour puss.
And this is an emergency. My gosh. I mean, I saw the carloads of people. Their whole families were packed. We saw people on ranch roads in eastern Watsonville up on the slopes just parked. They just drove up there and stopped.
Yeah.
And that's how afraid they were. This is no joke. This happened, and it was bad info that got out. And again, kudos to KSCO for your facility and your willingness to serve the public. And everybody should send you guys at least $20 a year just to cover the cost of running the emergency broadcast. So,
thank you so much.
People. All right, Michael.
Appreciate
thanks.
It. Okay, Rory, appreciate it. Hey, Millie in Aptos. Uh-oh, hold on. Wait a minute. What happened to Trucker Tom here? I got to get Trucker Tom back on. Oh, no. Well, here, let's call Trucker Tom back. We have to.
This is Tom, and answer the phone right now. Leave your name and number, and I'll get back with you. Thank you.
Well, I guess. Yeah, Tom, Trucker Tom Wiles. It's poor old MZ back at the radio station. I hit the wrong button and lost you. So we're just trying to get you back on. Millie, hold on a second, Millie. We're at 831-479-1080. Okay, thanks, Trucker Tom. Sorry about that. Okay, Millie, are you finished coughing?
That's funny.
Okay, you're on the air.
As per usual, on the night, I sort of lost track of time. Was it Wednesday night when the earthquake hit?
Thursday night, I think it was. Thursday night in Japan.
Thursday night. Well, I was listening to another station, and as 10 o'clock approached, I always switch to KSCO for, now I'm going blank, the big one that's all of coast to coast, which I take in most of the time. And I was waiting for maybe some local voice, but there, of course there wasn't any, to tell us how bad. Because the prevailing news said that the tsunami would probably hit anywhere on the Pacific coast, especially between San Diego and Oregon. I thought, uh-oh, that's us. And I was also, I began to become frightened because I live in the worst place possible, right by where a creek empties into the ocean or the bay, and right by the bay also. And so when your announcements came out after 6 o'clock, people were encouraged to get away, to evacuate if they were within 2 blocks of the bay.
Which we are ourselves, by the way, at the radio station.
Oh, right on it.
Yeah,
really. And tsunamis love creeks, rivers, and bays. They're drawn to them.
And lagoons, too, probably, right?
Oh, yeah, anything like that.
Yeah.
So this really awakened me then, and I was listening to Coast, which I always do anyway, but I was feeling, wow, how am I going to get out? But fortunately, I have a student living with me, and he was here that night.
Yeah.
And so I decided to take action while I was still awake, and I loaded 3 pets into a crate and got myself as ready as possible. And I guess by about 4 or 5 a.m., I did fall asleep. And so then I awakened to the welcome.
Well, wait a minute. You couldn't have been too concerned about the tsunami if you fell asleep.
Well, I just couldn't help it, you know. Nature took over.
Okay.
I fell asleep.
All right.
I was concerned. Usually I'm asleep.
You know, I don't mean to make light of this, but it just, I got to say this before I forget. Do you think it's possible that the value of waterfront property could be adversely affected as a result of this tsunami thing? Do you think that's possible?
In the mindset of people who love to live on the coast, I mean, and directly on it, I'd say no.
If any of them, if there's anybody listening, okay, right now, who lives on the water and believes that you want to get off the water, because I'm looking for a place that I'd like to have on the water.
I wouldn't let that stop you, because
I can't afford it. It's too expensive.
It's much too expensive
right now.
Yeah, there are so many places where a tsunami can hit, and
I would be willing to take my chances
because
I do want to live on the water, but I can't afford it at current Santa Cruz waterfront prices. But if they go down, then maybe the day will come when I can afford it.
Well, there's only one drawback to living on the beach, and that's the fireworks that go off not just for one day, Independence Day, but maybe the whole week, onslaught of firecrackers.
Well, if you don't like that, then you can arrange to be away for that week.
well, not me, but okay. But in, at any rate, I did awaken around 7:30, and then the news was out. The local stuff was finally out and had been since 6, I assume. And so if you're living near the water, get out if you can, more or less, that message.
Right.
And then they said, later we will tell you if it will be mandatory. Well, I wasn't taking any chances. So my housemate helped me load the pet crate into the car. And it, with great effort for that time of the morning, I threw myself together got out. So we drove over to a coffee shop and sat around for a couple of hours, and then it looked like nothing was going to happen, and we returned.
Right. Okay, well, thank you for sharing that story, Millie, and it's nice to hear from you.
Thank you.
You take care. Bye-bye. Next caller. By the way, if you want to call us, it's 479-1080 in area 831. If you want to email, it's mz@ksco.com. Next caller, Doug in Santa Cruz. Doug, you're on the air on KSCO.
Hey, MZ, I was just calling to commend you guys for having the dual language response. This is what America is all about. You know, you have to understand that not everybody listens to the same specific radio stations, and maybe somebody is entertained by just whatever the conversations are on KSCO or even the random music that you play. Whatever the case is, those folks were actually listening to your station. To have a multi-language community announcement is very important.
Yeah, and it was only for one time. I mean, it was only for just a minute or something, as I understand, Rosie.
Well, I mean, whatever the case is, that was part of a responsibility based on also the reaction of current news media from the Spanish networks. Those guys were blowing things out of proportion. They were actually scaring the locals.
Yeah.
I recall what was going on. At five o'clock in the morning, there was bumper-to-bumper traffic on 129, and people were, like, almost on the verge of causing accidents because they were having such anxiety about getting out of town.
Right. Yeah.
That's ridiculous. And that was brought on by a responsible so-called network.
Yeah. well, sometimes people take advantage of situations. So, I appreciate the kind words. You know, thank you very much, and hope you'll continue to listen to KSCO, Doug.
Yeah, just something to think about, MZ, is that, you know, I'm from the Midwest, and a few years ago, probably back around 93, there was a very famous radio DJ that was very well known in our area. They used to do all the announcements, and he was the MC for quite a few events at the area. He made an announcement many, 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 many times throughout the week that he was planning on having a spoof or a joke in one of his events.
Yeah.
And it was in retaliation to something that was going on politically in regards to nuclear defense. And as you well know, St. Louis is a prime target for any nuclear attack if there is and never was one. And he made the comment or the generalization that there would be a nuclear attack, and the way it was broadcasted was, mind you, this was supposed to be a joke, was somewhat flourished and flagrant, and it got him in a lot of trouble.
Right.
Because being in the position that he's in as an announcer and as an MC, it's the same thing as screaming fire in a locked building.
Yeah, I hear you.
It's something you don't do. And right. I think what these radio stations that inflagrated or inflamed the comments about the tsunami that scared these Latino locals as bad as they did a disservice to their community.
Right. Yeah, I've been digging for that email that from the irritated person. I found it. It's pretty short here. I'm going to read it real quick. Mr. Zwirling, I'm sure Rosie's heart is in the right place. However, broadcasting the tsunami warning in Spanish on an English language only station was ridiculous and irritating. People would have their radio dials set on their usual stations. Someone who does not speak English would not have KSCO marked. Cheers. And that's from Gail. I don't know Gail's last name, but it doesn't matter anyhow. So that that email I immediately forwarded to Rosie and Michael Olson and even Dr. Corey Gold. And it sparked a little bit of a controversy. So anyhow, I want to thank you very much for your call to the Saturday special, Santa Cruz Doug.
We'll talk to you later.
Okay, great, appreciate it. And we've got Ron and Carmel, our next caller. Ron, welcome to KSCO. You're on the air with MZ.
Hi, Michael. Hi. How are you?
And Trucker Tom is here, too.
Yes, he is. I just wanted to ask, when is someone going to start talking about the possibility of a tsunami caused by a landslide in the Monterey Canyon? That's really feasible.
Huh?
You've never seen the studies or the... I've seen some graphic, what do you want to call it? They're like the graphics that were set up to show what effects we would have if we had a landslide in the Monterey Canyon. You know where the canyon is?
Isn't that just off of Moss Landing?
Yeah, it's between us, between Carmel and Santa Cruz.
Yeah, and we have a wonderful picture of, a satellite picture, that
right.
famous photograph that you can buy for, like, a poster that you can buy for $20 in a lot of different places.
Yeah, and there have been studies.
It shows the Monterey Canyon, deep in the water. So what you're saying is, but it doesn't show that there's precipices or anything. It shows that the canyon is very, very smooth, like a levee almost.
Well, from what I've seen, the idea is that if there is a landslide in the canyon, that canyon landslide could possibly produce a tsunami that would affect us within a few minutes, and that's it. So I think we should be preparing for tsunamis a lot more than we did yesterday.
Well, gee, I appreciate your bringing that to our attention.
We'll take a look at it.
You're darn right I will. Thank you very much.
All right, bye-bye.
Okay, that was Ron and Carmel. 479-1080, we got a bunch of lines open now. And we will be back with more of MZ and Trucker Tom. And I still haven't heard anything from anybody about NPR or about the Costa Report. I guess no one cares about either one, so I guess we can continue on other topics. But let's go to a commercial break right now, right, Nikki? Does that make sense? Okay.
If you work the land, Webb's Farm Supplies in Soquel and Husqvarna Power Tools can make your work easy. Whether you need professional-grade power for landscape and trees or consumer-grade power for home and garden, Webb's Farm Supplies has world-leading Husqvarna Power Tools. Saws, trimmers, cutters, mowers, and parts for anything and everything new or obsolete. At 5381 Old San Jose Road for over 65 years, it's Webb's Farm Supplies and Husqvarna. Visit webs-farmsupplies.com or call 475-1020. 475-1020.
When it comes to dental care, you want to be treated with comfort, compassion, and competence. And we believe you deserve it. Hi, I'm Dr. Guy Peabody in Santa Cruz. Listen.
My name is Terry. I am terrified of going to the dentist. I was referred to Guy Peabody, and they told me about the sedated dentistry. They're really great people. The first time I went, I had taken a pill an hour beforehand, and I sat down in the chair and took another pill. It was at least 3 hours later. I woke up and all the work was done and I didn't remember anything and I hadn't felt any pain at all. It's so much better to walk in there and zone out and walk out 3 hours later and everything is done.
Dr. Guy Peabody provides a comprehensive approach to treating dental problems in the most comfortable ways possible, including sedation, laser therapy, and digital imaging. It's time. Take care of your teeth. Call Dr. Guy Peabody at 831-457-0343 or click on drpeabody.com. Wake up to a beautiful smile.
Hello, I'm Robert Stangero. Many Santa Cruzans know me as Big Boy. The original Stangero family has been in business since 1879. Our name stands for quality, quantity, and great service. Our Regilda's restaurant on the Santa Cruz Municipal Wharf is still the fishing headquarters for the area. It's where fishermen gather every morning for coffee and breakfast before heading out on the bay. Stop by Gilda's and say hello. Both my son Dino and I look forward to meeting you at Gilda's at the center of the Santa Cruz Municipal Wharf.
If electricity flows through it, You can save a lot of money by doing it yourself with the help of the experts at Santa Cruz Electronics. Hello, Charlie Friedman here. Listen to the things your friends and neighbors are doing for themselves with the help of Santa Cruz Electronics.
Xbox 360 repair.
Solar energy kits. Musical Tesla coil.
Video output for my home media center.
Building a new server.
Repairing a student radio station.
More RAM and a sound card.
DSL line.
Network printing, scanning, and faxing for dentists.
Replacing antivirus on 12 machines.
Wireless network for court reporter agency.
Diagnosing sound card problem.
Building a 5-kilowatt amplifier.
Ham radio antenna.
If electricity flows through it, you can save a lot of money by doing it yourself with the help of the experts at Santa Cruz Electronics, voted best electronics store 2 years running. Call Santa Cruz Electronics today at 831-479-5444 or visit at 2808 SoCal Avenue in Santa Cruz. Do it yourself and save money with the help of Santa Cruz Electronics.
Have fun and laugh until you cry. Srini Sarapalli is coming to town with a hilarious comedy hypnosis show that will carry you away. Go 7:30 Saturday evening at Loud Nelson and get carried away when Srini demonstrates his world-famous techno-hypnotist comedy hypnosis show, an experience that cannot be missed. Srini's comedy hypnosis show is exciting, humorous, and spellbinding. See the show or be the show Saturday, March 12th at 7:30 p.m. at Loud Nelson Center in Santa Cruz. For tickets, visit www.technohypnotist.com and use the coupon code COMEDY for a $5 discount or buy tickets at the door. Don't miss Srini Sarapalli, Saturday, March 12th at 7:30 p.m. at Loud Nelson Center in Santa Cruz.
I was going to go out of town today after the radio program, but I heard that spot, you know, for that comedy hypnotist show at the 7 p.m. tonight at the Loudon Nelson Center. Someone said that it's really London Nelson, and somehow the name got co-opted into Loudon Nelson. Whatever it is, if you look at the sign, it says Loudon Nelson. So even if the real name is London Nelson, we're still going to call it Loudon Nelson. I'm tempted to stay around just to go to that. They were giving away free tickets yesterday, you know, to help fill up the place here. And apparently it's quite a show. So, and I don't know. Are we supposed to give away some free tickets, Nikki, on the show today? You don't know? Well, if people want to go, if they want to have a free ticket, I don't know. I don't know. It's irresponsible to give people the impression that they're going to get a free ticket if they call 475-1080, because 479-1080 is jammed with people who want to go on the talk radio show. But if people want at least a chance to get a free ticket, they might want to call 475-1080 and leave your name and phone number with Nikki. So let's go back to our good friend Trucker Tom. Are you there, Trucker Tom?
I am here.
Okay, stand by. We got Evergreen in Live Oak who wants to.
Holy Moses! I thought I was really going to be in the queue.
Yeah, you are in the queue. But
good.
Yeah, but you get put to the head of the line because you do nice things and say wonderful things, and you never say anything negative about KSCO.
What could you say about KSCO that would be negative? You guys rock. You guys rock. You totally do. I
love it.
I had to call Rosie on the phone yesterday after I heard about somebody complaining about the Spanish-speaking advertisements for a couple of minutes. Now, she got grief from the OES. They didn't have any kind of protocol for that, and it was just kind of, I just think it's really a wonderful community service to think about everybody and
yeah.
all the people that were inconvenienced in the traffic and everything, all the misinformation. Apparently it was a matter of a shifting decimal point. It was supposed to be 0.8 meters instead of 8 meters. Maybe that's where the Spanish-speaking people wanted to
go. Oh, maybe that's what happened.
Yeah.
Holy Christmas, I never thought of that.
Yeah, but
what
anyway.
A difference. Yeah, and that could happen to anybody, huh? But
sure.
Well,
anyway,
in any language.
The Costa report was really, really good for her debut, and the Ron Paul interview was kind of lackluster, but that's because of Ron Paul, not because of her.
Oh.
He didn't want to. She was trying to trick him into committing to a presidential campaign.
Yeah, so that we could say, and speaking on KSCO AM 1080.
Yeah, he's announcing his candidacy.
Yeah.
Yeah, but. I liked her.
He was hip to that old trick. Huh?
I liked her comment. She says, "Anybody that would admit to, you know, announce their candidacy on my show, I wouldn't vote for him."
Who said that?
Rebecca.
Did she say that?
Uh huh.
I missed that.
He's intelligent.
And she's incredibly intelligent.
No, he's yeah.
But she is too. But wait a minute. Who said what?
She said. If he would have conceded that he was going to announce his candidacy, I wouldn't have voted for him because he shows he's not intelligent enough to, you know, be cagey.
Oh.
Okay. I don't know. I thought it was funny.
All right.
But she did a good job, and, you know, she charming in the way she bumbled around. And
I know that she has a great sense of humor, and that's going to blossom and come out with each successive program. And by the way,
I've got to get her book.
Guess what the next one? Yeah, The Watchman's Rattle. It's available everywhere, including her website, RebeccaCosta.com. But it's in all the bookstores and Amazon and everything.
I'm going to get it. But the Metro Farm this morning, the two programs are just fascinating about the agricultural trends and civilization and history. It was really fascinating.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah, you guys rock.
Well, thank you, Evergreen.
But I don't know. What else do you want to talk about?
No, let's just keep talking about how we rock. I could keep you on. To hell with Jerry in Scotts Valley, Kathleen in Santa Cruz.
Rick, they rock too, probably.
Rick at the flea market, and even my good friend Trucker Tom, because nobody compliments us like you do.
Nah, come on.
I mean, people compliment us, but no one compliments it. You're the best complimenter.
Well,
I didn't mean Rick. No, Rick hung up. I was only kidding. Oh, my God, I just lost all the callers. Don't people know my sense of humor by now? Call back, damn it. Okay. Jeez. Okay, Evergreen, thank you.
Oh, then I guess I get to...
You get to get booted now.
Monopoly. Uh-oh.
You get to get booted now because people didn't understand my sense of humor.
Oh.
That's bizarre.
Well, that's part of the...
Unless you want to say some more nice things
about
Well,
yesterday KSU. I just wanted to, like... I was listening to the radio broadcast and listening to all the coverage. I don't really watch television, so I wasn't really interested in being transfixed by the horror of it all.
Uh-huh.
But it was kind of... interesting to hear the Richard's comments about the floating concrete and how the harbor was destroyed by stupidity and the dredge and all that stuff. I never was able to hunt wild turtles like you guys, but
yeah
but anyway, interesting listening to that history.
Right.
But I don't know.
Well, listen, thank you very much for your call. I'm afraid that Jerry in Scotts Valley and Kathleen in Santa Cruz are going to take it.
I hope they come back on because I'm sure they're
No, they're still waiting.
They
haven't hung up yet, but it's the other two that have hung up.
Well,
anyhow,
I'm sorry.
Thank you much, Evergreen. Talk to you soon.
Bye.
That was Evergreen. Here's Jerry in Scotts Valley. And I wish Rick at the flea market would call back.
Yes.
I was only kidding when I said to hell with. I was just kidding. And people don't understand. I get myself in more trouble.
Hey, that's what it's all about.
With my bizarre sense of humor. Okay. Anyhow,
yeah.
Jerry, you're on. What's up?
Yeah, well, my first comment was I was quite impressed with the way your programming handled the announcements in terms of the tsunami. Because when I woke up that morning at 6:30 a.m., the big monster to the north was announcing that the Santa Cruz Yacht Harbor was being evacuated, and it took me 30 minutes to find out why. They never said anything other than there was an evacuation.
Yeah.
And I figured that there's a big difference between public service announcements and helpful warnings and trying to do people's thinking for them.
Right.
You know, you tell them there's a tsunami coming, and you give them the basic time scale and nominally the height, And it's up to most people to put things together on their own. If they can't, and they let other people do their thinking for them, then they wind up sitting out on Casserly Road in a traffic jam.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of people that really shouldn't have reacted the way they did because they weren't thinking.
Right.
They were just going along with the sheep.
Yeah,
and
those people were obviously not KSCO listeners.
Yeah. Well, there is
so
that.
they get what they deserve.
Yeah.
No, that's a mean thing to say.
I've been listening
to
KSCO since back when it was a music station.
The audience will disregard the last statement by MZ.
No. So, I've been listening to KSCO since it was a music station.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I used to listen as a kid.
God, you're an old fart.
Oh, yeah. I've been around, born and raised in Santa Cruz. Been around a long time. Ha ha.
Is fart one of the deadly words you're not allowed to say on the radio? I don't think so.
I don't know. Nobody said anything yet.
Yeah. All right. Well,
but
listen,
yes,
Jerry,
yes.
Thank you for continuing to listen to KSCO. We hope to get better and better. We're going to keep trying.
Well, this new gal that you've got on was impressive. I listened to her inaugural program. I was quite impressed.
What was so impressive about Rebecca Costa?
Refreshing. Different.
Uh-huh.
You know, I was expecting something a lot more left-leaning, and it wasn't. It was pretty decent. I liked the way she handled Ron Paul in terms of the programming, the interview. I wasn't head over heels impressed with Ron Paul and to begin with,
but
I like him. And so I was impressed being able to hear the interview and how it was conducted.
Were you expecting something more left-leaning
yeah.
because of the time slot?
Mostly because of the time slot.
Okay, because no other reason, right?
Pretty much. I didn't know anything about her.
Rick at the flea market just hung up again. He called back, and I guess he must be busy selling stuff.
Yeah, that's probably
we must be
he's
costing him a lot of money, KSCO. So we're going to have to give him some free ads or something
sure.
to make up for it. You know, I can only guess about why he keeps hanging up. And he's going to be the next person. But he wasn't there when I was going to.
He's not there when you want him.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, now hold on a second. Hold on. Don't go away. Don't go away, Jerry. Okay, it's just ringing. Is this Rick?
Hello.
Is this Rick?
Yeah.
Rick at the flea market?
Yeah, the reason I hung up was because I am doing business, but the guy basically stole my thunder. I really liked Rebecca as well, and I expected that she was just going to be another boring, pointless show, and she was very interesting.
Wait a minute. Don't, please. Another boring, pointless show?
No, not
you're,
like
you're
yours.
Insinuating that KSCO broadcasts no. boring, pointless shows.
No, you took that wrong. I meant with a woman host.
You're insinuating that all woman host shows, whether on KSCO or not, are boring and pointless.
No, but I was expecting one.
Okay, all right, fair enough.
And I was quite surprised. I really liked it, and I'll be a steady listener. And I am a steady listener. I like Corey. I like Charlie, even though he's kind of weird. And
he's
I like
very crotchety and nervous and irritable.
Oh, he's stuck in 1920. Other than that, he's okay.
Yeah. Okay, good. Now, so what are you like a regular merchant or what do you call them? A fleer? I don't know what you call you guys.
I'm not really. I'm an occasional fleer.
Oh, but do you have a booth or an exhibit or whatever you call it today? Or are you like a shopper like Charlie is himself?
No, I have a bunch of stuff laid out today. I'm trying to sell.
What kind of stuff?
Oh, okay. I got guitars, golf clubs, glass, knickknacks, and tools and regular just conglomeration of stuff.
How much is the guitar?
I have four of them.
Well.
And the 12 string is $250. It's a real old Ventura. It really sounds beautiful. I got a Washburn that's only $100. And I have a Takamine that's only $100. And I have an Ibanez that's $150. It's electrical, acoustical.
Uh-huh.
It's both. With a cutaway.
Well, now, whereabouts are you if someone wants to come and buy your
guitars? I'm right inside the gate. Third person
on the left, I guess, right?
You have it. Right across from the concession.
Okay. I would be curious about how many people you come to visit you as a result of hearing this. You know, and this, and if a bunch of people come to hear you, we're going to use that as a promo for about the kind of action people get when they advertise on KSCO.
Hey, that would be great.
Enough people, and if not enough people, or if no one comes and says it, we're not going to tell people anything. We'll just pretend it didn't happen.
Okay, well, it's been a real slow day, so if it picks up, I'll let you know.
Okay, good. Perfect. Thank you, Rick. And thank you for liking Rebecca. Oh, before you leave, let me bring back Jerry in Scotts Valley.
Okay.
So you guys could talk shop about Rebecca.
I kind of have somebody looking at
me. Even though Jerry stole your thunder.
Yeah, he did. But that's okay.
Sorry about that.
He liked her too.
Okay, good. All right. Well, I guess, yeah, so much for that. All right. Goodbye to both of you guys. Thanks for calling KSCO.
Bye-bye.
Okay, bye. There goes Jerry and there goes Rick. And here comes Kathleen in Santa Cruz, who's been waiting.
I'm waiting.
For a long time.
Hello?
Thank you for waiting.
You're welcome.
Well, what do you have to say, Kathleen?
We have a vacation home and a mobile home park here that's very 5 minute walk from the beach, and we don't have TV or anything, and so when we saw that something was coming, I'm used to our timeshare in Hawaii where you open the phone book and it gives all the tsunami directions and warnings and earthquake warnings, and there's nothing here in the Santa Cruz County local phone book about tsunamis or emergency prepared, you know, being prepared for emergencies.
Hmm.
We were in Hawaii when they had their last fairly large earthquake where all the electricity was knocked out. The radio stations were all knocked out about 4 years ago except for Kauai. And we were at least able to look in the phone book. The earthquake was right off the coast, and the people were very frightened of a tsunami. And at least the phone book gave us some info of, you know, where to go to get to higher ground and things like that. So I really was looking for that here, and I'm curious why there isn't anything.
Heads should roll on that one.
I think so. And also, I really like your lady. I don't know who she is who gives the little editorial things.
Oh, that's my mother, Kay.
She's great.
Thank you.
I think she's wonderful. So I just wanted to say that, you know, that...
How long have you been listening?
I lived in Santa Cruz County 22 years ago for 11 years, and then I moved to Placer County, and now we're back part-time, and so I've been listening off and on all that time.
Oh, okay. So, but you've only noticed Kay recently, or?
Well, since we've come back here two years ago.
Right.
To our vacation home. We don't have TVs, so we just listen to the radio.
Guess how old Kay is going to be pretty soon?
No idea. 70?
Add another 20 years.
Oh! Wow.
Can you believe that?
Well, she's very, I just really agree with her. And she's,
yeah,
she's very brave for this county. She is a light for this county.
Well, thanks, Kathleen. I couldn't agree more.
All right.
I appreciate it. Okay, Arden in Santa Cruz, welcome to the Saturday. And by the way, Trucker Tom, if you want to chime in, you're on. You can ask questions or whatever, because we don't want to forget about Trucker Tom. Go ahead, Arden, you're on the air.
MZ, my favorite radio station, my favorite owner. But to have a kid as old as you, she probably should be 110, but that's just...
I'm not that old.
I know.
I'm only 59.
Sometimes you said that Charlie's crotchier than you. I don't know. Anyway, hey, the thing about NPR and the public radio that is seriously missing, and I was listening to a ad on their station a day or two ago in San Jose, it makes it sound like the government is funding a huge portion of it. And it needs to be really, really pointed out that 10% at the max is all the government is ever giving them. And if that goes away, it's not going to affect them.
I'm happy you called with that information.
Thank you.
Yeah, is that what I think we had Doug McKnight on, the general manager of KAZU.
Right, I remember that. He was a nice guy.
Very nice guy, and so is Terry Green, who is the general manager of KUSP. Whom I've invited on twice, mm-hmm. and the timing was not good either time, I guess, but whatever. But hopefully we'll get We'll get Terry on because he's a really nice person also. But yeah, these guys are dealing with like serious funding problems. And though what you say is true, maybe 10% tops comes from the government and the rest comes from individual donations. It would stand to reason to me that, you know, it shouldn't be all that difference, but what a difference 10% can make, especially in times like this.
10% is going to seem like extremely small change when it comes to all the government programs and our own programs, you know.
Yeah. Which is why, and I don't want people to misinterpret me or think that I'm jumping on some, you know, on something or somebody when they're down, because it's not that way at all. I've supported KUSP in the past with contributions in the name of the radio station here, and I plan and hope to in the future. I really don't think there is any place, now that I've thought about it and this thing has come through, you know, even if the Sting video hadn't been shot and hadn't been come to light, you know, it just doesn't seem right that there should be government funding of anything with an agenda.
Yeah, it's agenda driven.
Now, of course, if you listen to Doug McKnight, he was saying, I don't think NPR is left leaning. That was one thing. I love the guy, but he's got to wake up. I mean, it's just not. Very left leaning. You don't find any conservative thought or ideology or perspective on NPR or PBS.
Hey,
nothing.
Back to your gal, the new gal on the radio. Yeah, I heard some. I can't think of who it was right now, but one of your callers triggered this. A very well-known talk show host, female, who says, I really can't stand to listen to talk show female hosts because, generally speaking, they're just shrill, in-your-face, and that was her.
Well, that's
her
what comment. Rebecca Costa said, yeah.
Yeah, okay, and so the gal you got, I mean, she's a jewel.
That's what she said, yeah.
Yeah, keep her, go with it, man. You got good taste.
No. No, we got a winner there. There's no doubt in my mind.
You got good taste. What can I say, you know?
Okay, thank you.
See you later.
Appreciate it, Arden. Here comes Kara in Santa Cruz. Kara, you're on KSCO.
Hey, when is that show on with the new gal?
2 to 4 p.m. Fridays.
Fridays.
On KSCO. It's in the What's Left segment. That's why people think it's normally, you know, that, oh, that Rebecca must be a lefty. You know,
I just have to say real quick, I am a lefty. I enjoy listening to your station. I enjoy all you Maine guys. I'm just wondering if you're getting compliments on, like, your Ricks in the morning and that Dave Michaels is amazing.
They're both the greatest. We are so lucky to have our entire staff.
And the rapport in particular with Dave and Charlie, who, you know, I love, with all his quirks, but the rapport particularly, and also in the mornings with Rosie, too.
Yeah.
So I just want to make sure they're getting treated.
I just heard something very upsetting, that Dave is going on a well-deserved vacation for a week or two.
Oh, wow.
I don't know what we're going to do without him.
Well, does he have a cot in the back? I'm sure he lives there.
Good point.
I mean, he's
a great dad to his son and daughter. I don't know how he does it. It's just amazing.
It sounds like it's great. So just keep up the good work.
Thank you much, Kara.
I'll listen to the show on Friday.
I appreciate it so much. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye now. Who is this? Bill? What does it say? Bill? Oh, Bill in Santa Cruz. Hi, Bill.
Hi, Mike. Can you hear me?
Yeah. How you doing?
Okay. Very good. Well, when I woke up on Thursday, I went to the internet, as I normally do, to look at the news, and Drudge Report said there was a major earthquake and tsunami in Japan. So then I quickly logged on to a Honolulu TV station and saw that the swells in Kauai were 7 feet and in Oahu 3 feet, and said this is a non-issue.
Yeah,
I mean, come on.
But yet it did become an issue at the small craft harbor at Santa Cruz.
Well,
there was millions of dollars worth of damage there, and I agree with you.
Michael,
I mean, I didn't even tune
Michael,
in.
Michael, you're correct.
Okay.
If you got a boat tethered in a harbor, and you go up or down 3 feet, you can have damage.
Yeah.
And those boats are expensive, so you can save millions of dollars worth of damage. But, you know, to evacuate the city of Watsonville, to, you know, close all the beaches. I mean, they had parks. They had all the rangers out closing all the beaches with yellow tape, and I'm thinking, We have this budget deficit in California, and they're spending money like it's liquid.
Yeah,
they're pouring money on this thing, and we got a 1-foot wave.
Yeah,
I mean, this is not rocket science. If Oahu gets 3 feet, it's a non-issue. Now, if you own a boat, double your insurance right now.
Okay.
I mean, what can I say, you know?
You've said it all. Thank you, Bill. Appreciate it. We got less than a minute left, and poor Trucker Tom. Hey, Trucker Tom, do you think that people have to pay income tax?
I know they have to pay income tax.
Okay, well, now there's, I was going to read this letter, but there's no time, from a guy named Jason Golditch. He's a longtime listener, probably know my name. He wants to do a Saturday special to tell the truth about the federal income tax. And this scares the hell out of me. He says, most Americans assume that they are required by law to pay the income tax. I assure you, while I admit that I used to be one of those people, that there's no law. That scares the hell out of me. It might be an interesting topic. But I don't want to put out anything that will get people in trouble. It's like people said, you don't have to present your social security number in order to get a driver's license. And I went to get my driver's license renewed, and they asked me, and I said, no, you can't have it. They said, well, then you can't have a driver's license. So anyhow, Tom, thanks very much for being with us. Continued success to you. Got to have you on again. And there's all right. KSCO Santa Cruz, Salinas, Monterey, San Jose. It's 12 noon.
Fox News Radio, I'm Cameron Riegel. Hundreds are confirmed dead in Japan after this week's massive earthquake, but that could just be a starting point, considering the thousands are still missing. And thousands more in emergency shelters are in the dark.
Several power plants are still offline a day after more than 5 million people were knocked off the grid. At the troubled Fukushima 1 reactor, Japanese officials admit there is a partial meltdown, releasing radioactive cesium and iodine. But they deny the amount of radiation poses a threat since it's being blown out to sea. In Tokyo, Mike Tuggle, Fox News Radio.
Another person has died after a horrific bus crash on I-95 in the Bronx, New York this morning. 14 are now dead. Cops say it appears the bus was clipped by a tractor trailer, which caused it to flip on its side and hit a signpost. That signpost tore through the length of the bus.
We were able to access the bus pretty well because most of them were tossed forward. We were able to get them out of the bus and access the critically injured quickly. And now the investigation begins.
New York Fire Chief Edward Kilduff. Several more are in critical condition. The bus was coming from a casino in Connecticut. The driver of the tractor trailer did not stop. Along the East Coast, waterways are swollen with melting snow and water from heavy rains. One man died in Philadelphia after attempting to drive through a flooded section of roadway. The good news is that the National Weather Service is calling for clear skies the next couple of days. The snow is so bad in North Dakota that hundreds of people have had to be rescued from roads covered in ice and snowdrifts. The North Dakota Highway Patrol says they've pulled some 800 people out of stranded vehicles so far. The town of Medina has suddenly seen its population double to just over 700, with those road refugees seeking shelter in a church and a school. You're listening to Fox News Radio, fair and balanced.
You're in the Fox Light.
Ready to hit the stage again after a long illness, sideline singer Aretha Franklin will perform on May 28th in Niagara Falls, New York. It will be her first show since canceling a string of dates last year after an undisclosed ailment caused the legendary artist to have surgery. To celebrate their 40th anniversary, Queen will re-release their entire 15-album studio catalog. There will be some rare recordings and a few demos recorded in 1971, with the first 5 albums hitting stores this spring. While Lady Gaga's monster following continues to grow, Eminem still has more Facebook friends. According to FameCount.com, the rapper has almost 29 million likes, while 24-year-old Gaga, who briefly held the title, is less than a million behind him. In Hollywood, Anita Vogel, Fox News.
The Fox Light.
Keep listening for more Focus from the Fox Light on Fox News Talk.
The Arab League pushing for a no-fly zone over Libya.
The Arab League met today in an emergency session, and it's asking the UN Security Council to impose the no-fly zone over Libya. They want to protect the rebels. The 22-nation league had its emergency meeting in Cairo today, asking the United Nations to, quote, carry out its responsibility. The spokesman for the Rebels National Council replied here in the city of Brega in the east, saying if the international community chooses to play the role of bystander, watching all the Libyan people being killed and cities destroyed, then we will have to defend ourselves.
That's Fox's Courtney Keeley reporting from Libya. The National Security Council is calling it an injustice. State-run media in Cuba says a court there has found an American contractor guilty of crimes against the state. Alan Gross has been sentenced to 15 years in prison. The court says Gross, who is 61, was working on a subversive program at the bequest of the United States. It's official, an NFL lockout.
The road ahead is through a courtroom as several players have filed an antitrust lawsuit against the NFL.
We're going to go back to work. We're going to do our best to save football.
Players Union Executive Director Demoris Smith speaking after the owners refused to open their books to the players.
The absence of an agreement is a shared failure.
NFL lead negotiator Jeff Pasch says they're ready to talk at any time, but the players' union decertified as a bargaining agent, clearing the way for the players' lawsuit in federal court in Minneapolis before a judge who's been sympathetic to the players in the past. In Washington, Rich Johnson, Fox News Radio.
The man who turned watermelon into a comedic event is recovering after a minor heart attack. The comedian Gallagher said to be doing well. His manager says Gallagher will be hospitalized in Minnesota for at least another night after collapsing on stage. Gallagher is 64 and he's famous for smashing watermelons with a sledgehammer. Karen Riegel, Fox News Radio.
Good afternoon, everyone. You're tuned in to KSCO 1080. I'm Nikki James. Got your forecast here. Partly sunny today, high of 61. The west winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tonight's going to be mostly cloudy, low of 44, and light winds. Sunday, mostly cloudy in the morning. Then we're going to have some periods of showers in the afternoon. High of 64 with south-southeast winds 10 to 15 miles per hour. Out there on the Monterey Bay, the northeast winds 5 to 10 knots, becoming west 5 to 15 in the afternoon. The wind waves less than 2 feet, west 12, 4 to 6 feet at 13 seconds. And tonight out there, south winds 5 to 10.